Can you discern true spiritual authority, or are you focused on positional authority? Well, Paul begins the next three chapters addressing this pretty strongly. Let's talk about it today in the Word. Good morning, and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer. Thank you for joining us here as we walk through 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 1 through 6, dealing with true spiritual authority. Now, I actually believe that the letter of 2 Corinthians crescendos in chapters 10, 11, and 12, as Paul, I believe, the reason why he wrote them in the first place was to deal with these areas of where he was being divided from them by false leaders and false apostles. And so he addresses the measure that God has given to him to them. And I think it's very interesting, and we can learn a lot about understanding true spiritual authority rather than what the flesh or man, and that includes all of us, we can, flaunt, and that we can use positional authority, we can use our personality, we can use manipulation, we can use success, we can use followers. All of those things can be used falsely rather than leaning upon true spiritual authority. And I think it's important right now in the body of Christ that we understand this. So let's begin here in verse 1. Now, I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Now, you're going to see where they actually say that of Paul. And that was known, that when he was with them, he was gentle. But when he wrote his letters, he was bold. Now, here he's saying, I'm pleading with you in the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to plead to them that their heart would be adjusted before he gets there. He's going to take time and be patient in his coming, but there's a reason why Paul uses this terminology when he says, when I'm among you in your presence, I'm meek. You see, in human ways, in man's ways, we often see people who are strong, assertive, demanding, intimidating, as having power, as having authority. If you look in the world around you, those are the people that often become the leaders, and they use the power of their soulishness, manipulations, curtness, cutting people off, being bold, intimidating. All of those ways, even though they may be very subtle at times, even clothed in kindness, can be used to position themselves and to exercise authority over other people. Jesus said, in the kingdom, that ought not to be so. He said, in the Gentiles, that's what they do. They exuadzo, they bring under the authority, under the power of another. And we can slip into it so easily. And there were leaders who called themselves apostles, which tells me that apostleship was prevalent in that day. It wasn't just the 12 apostles. You see Paul and Barnabas and other apostles. But one of the reasons that I believe that there were other apostles in the body of Christ is because they could put themselves off as apostles when they were truly false apostles, and they had built to themselves a recognition, a reputation of success, of charismatic personality, people following them, they have influence. Look, these are the people we ought to be following. And so they had appealed to the Corinthians and was pulling Christ's church, Christ's bride, away from the true spiritual authority that God had given to Paul, because they didn't recognize his place. They were trying to build on his foundation. They were not discerning or respectful. It's what Jesus said, the thief that tries to climb over the wall. He said, I am the door, and anyone who comes to me must come through the door. You see, if you're going to come to God, you got to come through the door. He said, anyone who tries to tell you can get to God any other way is a thief and robber. They're always trying to climb over the wall. Well, that's a principle about authority, spiritual authority, is you'll find that people that are not submitted to authority are always trying to get around and not come through that individual or that person whom God has set. So these false apostles had not come to Paul, had not appealed to Paul, was not working with Paul. They were coming around, building something for themselves, taking advantage, building their ministry. And when I see people trying to build their ministry, it has that sense to me, what about the church? What about the body of Christ? Why aren't you connected with spiritual authority? Why are you independent? You say, well, they're part of the church too. Yes, they are. But are they discerning authority that God has placed in that city or in their life or wherever they may go? We could talk about that more as we go. But Paul is saying, I'm appealing to you in the meekness of Jesus Christ, because what he's about to do is get very strong. In doing so, he said, I'm going to be bold towards some. Now, let's look at what he says in verse 2. He says, but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, he's writing to the church collectively, and he's saying, not all of you are in this position, just some. And that's always the case. You always have some. You have most of the people, very understanding, very receptive of Paul's authority, but they're being influenced. They're being led astray by the vocal ones. And he says, I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence, which I intend to. I know when I come, I've got to address this with truth, not with meanness, not with manipulation, but with truth against some. He said, because they've judged us as walking according to the flesh. They've judged us as not being spiritual. And he says, that is being the case, I must talk to you about the authority that God has given to us towards you. That's why he says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now let's talk about that. There's so much here in these verses. He said, yes, we live and walk out life in this body. So though we walk in the flesh, that's what he means. We're like everybody else. We're just human beings walking in this life in the flesh. But he says, we do not war, meaning our struggle is not with people. We do not war according to the flesh. What does it mean to war according to the flesh? It means to use manipulation, coercion, intimidation, self-exaltation, all of those things that make you feel like you are being pushed down. And it's, come on guys, it's so easy in the church to get by with that because we allow pride in the church. I know the Lord has dealt with me severely about pride. I don't want to indicate that it's over. I'm aware that that's always ever before me. Why? Because we walk in the flesh. But Paul's saying we need to be sensitive and know that we don't war according to the flesh. All those soulish conflicts and I'm going to be right and I'm going to straighten you out and all of those strong feelings that happen in the church world. There's so much spiritual abuse because we want to be successful and we're told that we're to be successful. We as pastors use titles in order to separate ourselves from the people and be respected. I'm pastor so-and-so, or I'm apostle so-and-so, or I'm prophet so-and-so. And I don't see that in the scriptures. I understand the culture we live in. But Paul was not called Apostle Paul. He was called Paul, the apostle, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't say truck driver Joe, I'd say Joe, who's a truck driver. Yes, Glenn pastors the sheep. That's part of my responsibility as an elder, to bishop and to pastor, to feed and oversee. But pastoring is a job description. I know it's a gift mentioned one time as a noun with the word pastor in the New Testament, and we use it as a title for everything. And if we're not careful, it separates us in a non-authentic way. It separates us from the people. I remember growing up in an environment where pastors were told, don't hobnob with the people. If you get too familiar with the people, they will disrespect you. They will not see you. And that's probably true. That's why Paul was seen as he was. They weren't spiritually mature enough to discern real spiritual authority. But the onus is not to change the means and add titles. It's to encourage maturity to grow up in the body so that saints can truly recognize spiritual authority. And he says here something in verse 4 I think is quite interesting. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now he goes on talking about casting down imaginations. But let me stop here for just a moment. I know this verse is applicable to all believers because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God. But in context, Paul is talking about his apostolic authority. He's talking about his measure of spiritual authority, that it's not carnal, it's not manipulative, but what God gave him was mighty, he says, mighty through God, he says, for pulling down strongholds. What does that mean? That means coming against the arguments that are false, that are set up in the church of Corinth, that he might undermine those false apostles. You're going to see over here in chapter 11, he says, I'm going to keep on cutting out from underneath their knees, their knees out from underneath them. Why? He's going to keep teaching the truth, teaching the truth, teaching the truth, preaching the truth, preaching the truth, because he believes the measure that God has given him will have an effect. We have to trust spiritual authority that God gives us. When we don't have faith in God at work, we will manipulate. When we're not patient with God at work, we manipulate. It doesn't happen as quick. Manipulation, coercions, intimidations, it causes things to happen fast for our benefit. Trusting God is to let Him deal in the hearts of people. That's why Paul is writing to them and saying that when I do come to you, I trust I'm not bold towards some of you. Is he going to change his way? No, they're going to change their way. He's going to be patient until God has dealt with him so that when he does get there, he's received because he walks in authority. He's not going to manipulate authority. He's not going to exercise authority. He's going to move in authority just simply by showing up. When he shows up to some, he's going to be harsh. To others, he's going to be gentle. But in truth, he's in gentleness and meekness all the time. But they don't see that because when you're insubordinate and you're rebellious, you feel spiritual authority and you attack spiritual authority. He says here in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is spiritual authority, dealing with arguments with truth. There are high things that exalt themselves. Man's ways are high things, and they exalt themselves against the very ways of God, the very knowledge of God. When Paul said to the Colossians that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will, I believe that's God's perspective. Here the same way, against the knowledge of God. When you know God and you know God's perspective, it's a humble way. Jesus came in that humble way. But in the world's way, it is self-exaltation. And he's bringing every thought into captivity, obedience of Christ. Asking them to do that, and then what he would say and speak would be the process of that. Now he says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Here's what I see in this. I think he's saying, when you come into obedience, it's going to have a tremendous effect on the others around you. And then I will be able to walk in the measure that God has given me when you are in obedience. You see, spiritual authority has to be embraced. It has to be received. Otherwise, that person just has to walk away. I know what it's like for the measure that God has given me to be received, and I know what it's like for it not to be received. And there's a temptation in all of us to fight with manipulation, to intimidate, to tout our success so people will follow us. The Bible doesn't really emphasize success. It emphasizes fruitfulness. Man emphasizes success. To have a perception of power, we use that all the time. You know, what do? We lord it over people. We are in that process of scheming and making things go our way and making sure we say this to control this. And when they say this, I'm going to say this. And it's all human manipulation. It's not the heart of Christ. We see that in Philippians chapter 2, where the scripture says about Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That's what happens with us when we walk in humility. We lay our life down. We lay our soulish manipulations down and we say, God, I trust you that if there's any authority you've given to me, then as I walk in it and speak truth, it will have an effect. And that's what Paul is saying. And it is mighty through God to pulling down every stronghold and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And he's saying that it will affect others when your obedience is fulfilled. I get the heart that Paul is dealing with here. He birthed them in the gospel. He labored in the gospel. And now they're rejecting his place. And he's grieved over it, not because he himself is rejected, but the work and the measure that God had given to from him to them, it would no longer continue and they would lose out. So for the sake of the church, he was going to come in true spiritual authority and argue against every thought that exalted itself. My challenge for us today is to say, do we recognize and discern true spiritual authority? Are we enamored and attracted by success, celebrities, manipulators, intimidators, people who we think, oh, they have power. I want to be around them. Or do we look around and discern who God has placed in our life, who truly has true spiritual authority, though they may not be famous and they may not be known? Let's learn to receive Christ's authority in his church today in the world.